All right. All right, so on December 19th, it was announced that Our Game International, parent company of the World Poker Tour, would merge with Black Ridge Acquisition Corporation. The new company is called Allied Esports Entertainment, and it's expected to trade on the NASDAQ Stock Exchange. As one of the world's leading poker brands, fans are naturally curious as to how things will change, if at all, moving forward with the WPT. To discuss the merger, and specifically the effect that it will have on the World Poker Tour, WPT President and CEO Adam Pliska was kind enough to join me for an interview. Adam, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much, Robbie. I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. Good. Thank you so much for coming on. So, you know, we've spoken before. We were familiar with each other. And I know that you've been with the WPT for quite a while, since 2002. This is not your first experience with acquisitions and transitions, as ownership of the company has changed hands a few times over the years. Is this latest development any different than acquisitions of the past? And if so, in what way?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say it's a treat to be able to make a career out of selling a company multiple times. You know, it allows you to do a nice refresh, but it gets bigger and bigger every time. And we're going into the end of season 17 and the beginning of season 18, it's that much more fun.
Excellent.
So is this one different? Every acquisition, every time that there's a new investor or partner or parent, there are commonalities and there are things that are different. Mm-hmm. And the what's different here that is relevant is we are, there's multiple parties here. There's Our Game, there's Black Ridge, which is currently traded as BRAC on NASDAQ. Mm-hmm. And so we have multiple parties coming together, and this is an existing entity, unlike in 2003 when we went public, or 2004, I'm sorry, 2004, mm-hmm. We were doing an IPO. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What was different is we were a startup. We were, you know, with our big dreams and ideas, and we were telling the world, this is what we want to do. And we were going public and getting support of the public to go out and build these things. And, when you start out at the beginning, you set your ideas of what you'd like to have happen. And mm-hmm. you hope that most of them happen, but along the way you change and you adapt. And so what's different here is for the World Poker Tour side, the World Poker Tour is a mature business. And mm-hmm. It is now merging into a company that it will be traded and will allow it to have resources. But it's also merging with part of a business that has that element of the startup. Part mm-hmm. as well. It's
right.
Allied Esports, which has done so well in a very short time, is very reminiscent of the World Poker Tour back in 2002 and 2003. The numbers are a lot bigger just because esports is a lot bigger.
Of course.
But
sure.
You have all that excitement that you get when every day is an adventure, you're a pioneer every day. And so what I like to say is what you're getting in this is what we're saying is we'll become a publicly traded company that has the maturity of mature business, but the ability to have the growth and the ability to make an impact on the future market of a growth business. And so as we'll discuss a lot of these, there's a lot of elements that are that are very complementary here, mm-hmm. and together, together it's the best of both worlds, because you got, yes, some things staying the same, which is just like before. We're we have a company and it'll be a public company, and we'll have all of those challenges and opportunities. On the other hand, I got to tell you, it's a lot more comforting when you're going into it, having a mature company in the background as well, knowing how operations work, knowing essentially what your financials are going to look like. It's both different and the same. The one aspect I will say that is the same is things have gone full circle with Lyle Berman again. Lyle Berman, there would be no World Poker Tour without Lyle Berman. He was the initial funder of the World Poker Tour. It was his idea for us to go public.
Sure.
And here we are again. Ironically, we had given Lyle the WPT Honors Award in the spring before we had ever talked about any of this. There was no relation to this.
And so then
to be back in Lyle's condo talking about talking about this and the SPAC that he operates is quite surreal. I'm sorry, I gave you way too long of an answer.
Oh no, that's an excellent and comprehensive answer. It kind of makes me wonder, like you say, if there was no prior knowledge, do you think that perhaps somewhere in the deep recesses of Lyle's mind, after he received the award, he'd be like, I really miss the WPT. Let's figure out a way to work together again. Did he mention that, at some point? Maybe that happened to his thought process?
Well, I think the World Poker Tour has been a conduit for Allied Esports to basically leapfrog from other places that companies in that sector would have been in, for example, the relationship with MGM,
right?
That started through our relationship with MGM. We scouted the property that became that eventually became the Esports Arena Las Vegas at the Luxor. Mm-hmm. Also, the initial discussions had nothing to do with the World Poker Tour. They had to do with Allied Esports, so we were a conduit in that regard to Lyle. But as time went on, we realized first of all, these businesses are so complementary and helping each other because it's live events, production of content, and then there's an online component. So they follow each other, and we have expertise in those areas.
Right.
And so when we look at them, quite frankly, it seemed a little sad about separating them because we had just gotten so much momentum by these two companies being together. And we work so closely that it just became evident that this would just be an awesome and a very unusual merger.
Right.
By putting this together and having the benefit of a mature, solid company who knows, it has a very steady, the World Poker Tour is not going anyplace, so it has a very steady, stable growth in its business, and putting that with this massive growth business of esports, which is so exciting. That I think at some point there was just this kind of epiphany that this is too wonderful to separate.
Amazing. And you mentioned already the points of convergence and that there's a lot that the companies have in common. I do wonder, and I'm a little bit more on the poker purist side, that's my Achilles.
Sure.
I do wonder, of course, esports is a much larger audience. So, our question always from the purist side is, okay, so how do you perhaps envision this new partnership or this new merger, rather, bringing more esports fans into the poker sphere?
It's a great question. And for that, it's important to understand the ecology of poker today.
Mm-hmm.
I am a very big advocate, and you've heard me say this before, of not going to war with the pillars of poker. It is too easy to be armchair quarterback of those who are trying to expand in poker or who make great contributions to poker.
Mm-hmm.
But let us remember, if it wasn't for party poker putting lots of sponsoring lots of events and reaching out to their customers the way that they have, the way that these guarantees, we might not be having new people coming in. If it wasn't for PokerStars over the years, you're spending, you know, tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in advertising. Maybe how many people wouldn't have ever come into the ecosystem if it wasn't for good partners like Fox putting the World Poker Tour on in the U.S. or the 28 other broadcasters of the World Poker Tour, putting the World Poker Tour so the World Poker Tour is on any hour, someplace, every, you know,
Sure.
Now, not everybody who watches the World Poker Tour will go play at a World Poker Tour event, but that's okay.
Right.
Some of
right.
them will play at an 888 event. Mm-hmm. Some of them will play at a party event. Some of the people who were exposed at PokerStars will, or who watch something on Poker Central will come to a World Poker Tour event. And so I give that background because I am a very big advocate of the preservation of the ecology. And I think that we need to stress that the mage, that we need to have support for those who can build that. If not, we're gonna have all pros, and we know what happens when it's all pros, right?
Sure.
It affects growth.
Naturally, sure.
So in this, so for me, putting anchors down in places, whether it is the international growth, for example, the World Poker Tour is, you know, grown from, you know, you go back eight or nine years ago, we had 12 events or 14 events, and now we're 65 events.
Right.
And every time that we put an anchor down, that's a relationship. There's a human relationship being made. And just like our relationship with MGM helped Allied Esports, or our relationship with our partners in Europe that Allied Esports has worked with. Now imagine that working the other direction.
Right.
Now Allied Esports, this esports is this massive growth area. And as it is growing all over the world, relationships are being made, and we're the same company. And so now we can, it's a much easier thing to, it was much easier for us to go to MGM and say, hey, I'd like you to consider our esports vision, because we had 16 years of relationship with MGM at the time.
Right.
And now, as esports grows, it's a much easier thing to do to say, hey, let's try some, let's bring some poker here. Because because one thing that is important to understand of what's going on is that esports is really different from what you and I played when we were kids, you know, when we got our Atari system.
Right.
There we were playing against a game, right? And we were playing against the computer. And
you got to beat the end boss and, you know, go up on the levels, sure.
Absolutely. And we may have a leaderboard against our friends.
Right.
But now, esports is about that thrill of competing with other human beings, just like poker. And so these are very synergistic opportunities here, because both of these both serve the desire to put yourself out, take that risk, as we know any poker player does. They put themselves out, and they know that when they play against another person,
right,
you know, there's that fear of failing. There's that ambition. There's that, all of that stuff that comes with sports.
Mm-hmm.
That's what poker is about, and that's what esports is about. So as long as they have that core spirit, as the anchors of esports get placed around the world, this becomes a natural avenue for us to appeal to the esports community and say, guys, you're much bigger than we are. But I got to tell you, it's the same thrilling feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You sit down at a poker table and, you know, you're putting yourself out there at that moment. And so imagine that what we need to avoid in the industry is preaching to the choir so much, right? Because
right.
we're mm-hmm. preaching to the converted.
Correct.
Converted, it's not bad to do that, but it doesn't help the ecology grow. Mm-hmm. And so now we have a bonanza. We have a market where there's, you know, a billion gamers out there. And they all share the same spirit of poker, that they're all taking the risk of putting themselves out there, where they may fail or they may succeed. And so this is exactly the community that we want to be able to say, hey, while you're doing that, try this. You'll love it. And if we convert a small fraction of that audience, poker is going to benefit immensely.
Absolutely. And I have to say, you know, like you gave a very comprehensive answer there, and I found myself nodding the entire time, you know, because I didn't just, you know, I didn't put these questions together, okay, softballs, and okay, let, you know, give Adam some easy answers. I was sure. genuinely curious, you know, how does one relate to the other? And your answer, you know, it's very honest, it's straightforward, and it makes a lot of logical sense to look at it that way. And also it comes, obviously, it shows your experience working with both, obviously, in the poker world and also understanding of the esports and stuff. So it's a very interesting and complex and at the same time, completely logical and understandable answer. And, you know, how can anyone not but nod when you hear something like that?
I'm glad you were nodding and not nodding off, because I can go into, but I will say, Robbie, when I say you'll never hear me bashing the World Series of Poker or those, you know, the poker sites that have done something, I really mean it, because we need this. And if I could say one thing to the community, it's we really need to preserve the ecosystem, or the game that you cherish is not going to be the same in the future. And so now on the stage comes an entire new community who is living the same spirit of competition, and they've been prepped by game publishers all over the world, and now we just need to walk into them and say, give this a try.
Right.
It'll give you the same thrill.
Right. And we all love poker. We know it's great, so the product sort of speaks for itself. Yeah, so,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
On a personal level, you know, you've always, you know, always at the World Poker Tour had plenty on your plate. But now, you know, with the merger, your role is being expanded to also include additional esports related responsibilities. So, I mean, you know, one man, you know, Atlas can only carry so much on his shoulders. What sort of strategy do you intend to implement so that you can devote appropriate attention both to the poker and esports part of your work?
Sure. So, yeah, I will retain the role of CEO of World Poker Tour, but I'll also be president of the new company, mm-hmm. with Frank being the CEO of the new company. And so...
This is Frank who? I'm sorry, I don't know the last name.
Frank Ng, N-G. He's the CEO
okay.
of our game currently.
Uh-huh,
so
right.
He'll be the CEO of the... And so... he'll be the CEO. I'll be the president of the new company, the combined company. Mm-hmm. And the answer to that question is, well, clearly, while we've had to keep this quite under wraps for a while, we've mm-hmm. been preparing. And I got to tell you, I feel like we're back in those early days of the World Poker Tour when we are going public, but with a heck of a lot more knowledge. So now, I know, we're absolutely gearing up for this. And the answer to this is discipline. You absolutely have to discipline your time. You know, I'm quite disciplined on my diet and my exercise, and I sleep at night now,
yeah.
10 years ago. But being regimented about that time, is essential because we are continuing to grow. The World Poker Tour is growing still, you know, coming into its, is when it approaches its 18th year, it'll have some of its best growth ever. I mean, it is still a vibrant business that is just scratching the surface. And quite frankly, there are more things to come, but we're going to wait until the new year to talk to them. but to add this other component, fortunately, they have so many things similar, but the discipline requires a lot of regimented and compartmentalized working of time management. It includes the increase of staff. There are other very talented people coming on to this, coming on to Allied Esports, Allied Esports Entertainment, mm-hmm. Which will include, Judd Hannigan, who has been running the esports division, and he's, mm-hmm. Been responsible for getting that esports venue up within a year's time. Mm-hmm. We have David Moon, who is a expert in online, and his and he is coming on as the new COO. Mm-hmm. Frank, if you look at the people here, it was Frank and Lyle. Eric was the chairman of our game. He's going to be on the board. Mm-hmm. We're more than business partners. We're friends.
Right.
We can speak in shorthand, and so that helps a lot.
Absolutely.
When you're working with people who don't take offense, because you don't have to have those early days of, the early days of World Poker Tour, hardly everyone, I knew Steve, but not everybody knew each other, and you're kind of getting used to each other. We know each other. We're a well-oiled team. Mm-hmm. Ken DiCubellos is the CFO, and he's been working with Lyle for years. But the short answer to your question is absolute discipline. As if you're going after a major project, this is the new war, right? You have to be incredibly disciplined on time. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you got to have incredible people, mm-hmm. that you can work with. And fortunately, we're already, we've started out in a great pace mm-hmm. because of the people that have been assembled. And then finally, you end up, this is the most wonderful thing about business. And I could go on forever about, to me, business is almost religious. I mean, I really mean that. I had a discussion yesterday with somebody where I said, well, to me, being in business and trying to do as much well as you can, but trying to be decent to other people and treat each other well and be ethical with your partners, and it does something. It converts you. If you adhere to those principles, it makes you a better human being. And it is amazing, Robbie, that when you make these announcements, and before when we've had to reach out, the amount of friends that have come back to just help make this thing successful. I mean, I look back, and now Lyle has been a part of this. Mm-hmm. These are unsung. So Lyle, everyone will know because he's the chairman of the board. But let me tell you, Steve Lipscomb has been mm-hmm. essential in making this happen.
Wow.
Martin Weigold, the former CFO of Party Poker. Mm-hmm. Norbert Toffelberger, the former.
Wow, that's a name I haven't heard in years.
Yeah,
goodness. I mean, from BWIN.
Absolutely. And
wow,
these guys have been so helpful. And this is what happens when you stick around over enough years and you work with good people, you realize you can call amazing people and they just want to be helpful. And so that is the key. How do you do it? You don't do it by yourself. The whole world is not, you know, I am not Atlas. And, you know, and anyone who knows my team knows that I'm not Atlas. My team is Atlas. Uh-huh. And they have been, you know, I'm the most blessed human being in the world. I mean, I can't even believe it. All these years, I have this incredible team. Now it's just expanding. But mm-hmm, sure. The friendships that have helped carry the weight, and the other great executives that are coming on. I mean, I'm going to make this analogy. When I was a kid, I played soccer for 7 seasons. Okay. And I was horrible. But my parents came to every meeting. So, you know, they acted like I was the VIP, but I really wasn't. Really. But there was always, if you ever played any sports, there was always a team that was just that A team, that team where everyone just seemed to get along well. Yep. They just seemed, everyone seemed to be a star. And you could just sit, you know, during the award ceremony when I was getting the, you know, participation award or whatever it was, and they were getting all of the, you know, the major awards, you'd sit back with great admiration and you'd go, wow, what was it like? What must it be like to be on a team like that? And that's exactly how I feel with this team.
That's phenomenal.
I mean, we got Lyle and Ken and Frank. You know, Frank built one of the largest social gaming platforms in all of Asia.
Wow.
And, you know, our friends at MGM, and as I said, Steve and Norbert and Martin. And I'm thinking, every day I wake up and I just feel incredibly blessed.
Unbelievable. You had mentioned that, you know, obviously it makes sense as well with a merger of this nature, a huge company coming in, and there's an influx of resources and all these additional growth opportunities. You had mentioned, you know, just now a number of the names, I guess, you know, for lack of a better analogy, at the top of the ladder. And something that I've always marveled at is that, you know, approximately, you know, again, to the best of my knowledge, about 50 to 60 people are full-time WPT employees in, you know, managing such a tremendous worldwide operation. It makes me wonder, with this influx of resources, are there plans for expansion on that front as far as personnel or, you know, maybe the size of the current talent roster?
So the answer is yes. But that's because the World Poker Tour continues to grow. You know, one of the principles that I certainly have learned over the years, which is don't hire one person who is not invaluable, right?
Right.
Every person at the World Poker Tour has there's no like a second bench at the World Poker Tour, right? I mean, if we all know that we can all, you know, the company is big enough to survive any of us if anything happens, but everyone who is here has a very important job. Mm-hmm. There is nobody who does not do something that's essential. And the answer is, yes, we will increase because we have some very big plans coming. Mm-hmm. And it is great to have the resources to do it.
Right.
But, you know, the World Poker Tour is not a startup company, so it doesn't, you know, it's not like, hey, give us the resources and we'll build it. We know that we need the resources because we know what the opportunities are. Now, it's nice when you have the comfort of knowing that you're a well-capitalized company. You know, it certainly makes the, you know, it certainly makes that decision-making it gives you a little bit more comfort and probably helps you make better decisions. But the answer is yes, we will. And we will because the World Poker Tour is still growing and the convergence of esports with World Poker Tour is creating new product. In addition, we have an esports arena we can do whatever we'd like with now.
Yeah,
and we have, you know, facilities around the world and the esports trucks, which can be poker gaming trucks, and you know, and so we will expand, but it's more because of the strategy, and not because of just being well capitalized, though, you know, that we're what I would say is that we are expanding because World Poker Tour's foundation just got that much more solid.
Amazing. And you said that we were saying that, you know, the 50 to 60 people have already accomplished so much. It's not the analogy of, oh, if John can paint the house in 5 hours and, you know, and Frank can do it in 2 hours, how long will it take? It's more how many houses can they now paint together? It's an incredible thing.
Absolutely.
And you know, you've mentioned the esports arena. You know, there are people out there who have not necessarily been to Las Vegas in a while. You can't miss it. It's big logos plastered on all sides of the pyramid at Luxor. The best of my knowledge, and I've been to the Great Pyramids at Giza, and I'm pretty sure that Luxor's pyramid is the fourth largest in the world. It's huge. And the studio, the space that you had mentioned that gets scattered out, it's really cool. I've seen it with my own eyes. You know, maybe you can just run down a couple bullet points for, sure, you know, to open the eyes of people who haven't yet seen it.
First of all, I'm inviting anyone who has not seen it to please come in and see it. It is, in itself, it is one of the greatest. And I come from a television background, so it is a incredible television studio, but absolutely catered and bespoke to esporting competitions. And when I
and you can just walk in for free, also you just walk straight
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely, and you know there are massive events that are being held there now. I mean, the nice thing is, in a very short time, that has become kind of the mecca of esports. You know, you've had the League of Legends finals there, and you had the Capcom, and you had this event that they had with Ninja in the spring, and so you have some massive events that kind of get sold out. But during a day-to-day basis, absolutely go there and walk in, and there's you get food, and there's nice facility there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, at any given time, there could be 1,500 people watching an esports event, or there could be just, you know, local people coming in to play on you know, computers. But the events there are, it's different. You know, we had our representative from Fox over, and immediately I felt comfort for the World Poker Tour because we have the final tables there.
Right now. Sure.
Because what he could see was that poker really looks like traditional sports now. I mean, there is no question about it because it is in a sports arena.
Right.
And it is so complementary to that. So it is, yes, it is a terrific, it is a terrific venue. I mean, I think that there is going to be, during CES times and those things, there's going to be battles over who wants to rent that place out. But on the day-to-day basis, on the big event basis, you're going to see some spectacular things here, because up until now, you want to go and create an esports event of that magnitude, you're starting from scratch and setting things up. Now imagine all of those resources that would have gone into setting things up, going into the production or going into the content itself. Mm-hmm. And being able to do it 24/7, 365 days. It is an international, this is an international phenomenon. So to mm-hmm. be able to be globally connected in that way, and that studio is absolutely broadcast ready and ready to be connected for international events. So it's spectacular. I, you know, the best thing to do is go and see it, or, you know, go to the website and, right, and check it out. That'll definitely make you want to go and see it.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, again, obviously you've mentioned, and again, I've seen it, you can't help but sort of be awed at this gigantic, immense, state-of-the-art studio for, you know, which is optimized for the, you know, producing the best possible broadcast product. It's fantastic. in that sense, and, you know, that's something that you've seen, you know, for years in South Korea and for Europe as well, is the live attendance at these esports events. Is that something that you think WPT may be making a little bit more of an active push for, of getting more live spectators to attend the final tables and have a little bit of an enhanced poker fan experience as well?
100%. We will do that. I mean, we realize that this is a, since we own the facility, we have the ability to do that in ways that we would not in the past. And I think we had some learnings from the last time. The last time was our first time, and we filmed five tables there. I mean, you know, in the future, I think we'll be able to get the audience closer and have them have even a more, you know, we can bring the stage out. We can have them have a more dynamic experience. But this is a canvas that is just absolutely not only geared for audience interaction, mm-hmm. but partnership interaction as well, like sponsors. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know, when people came into the final tables this year, as they go into that rotunda area, mm-hmm. they were able to experience a lot of different interactions with various sponsors that we had.
Right. And I remember that. Right.
I'm going to go back to the ecology of poker and to the business, you know, the business of poker. It is so important that we not only attract sponsors for poker, but that we give sponsors value.
Mm-hmm.
And we're no longer in the days where merely saying brought to you by so-and-so is enough. I mean, that just, it's a much different world now. We all know that in how we consume entertainment. And it's and interactions and engagement is so much more important. So when you have an esports arena and you can control all of the aspects of that, you can do so much more and give so much more value to the sponsor. I don't just say that because I think it's good for our business. I say that because when Baccarat is a sponsor or Dr. Pepper is a sponsor or Hublot is a sponsor, it's good for the industry. It says something about poker that in its import that it has come to a place that people regard it as seriously sponsorship worthy. And so I don't mean to make this related to just WPT. I mm-hmm. think a facility like this that can offer sponsorship value that mm-hmm. you would only other that it would have been analogous to had a sponsor come into a basketball game or so, you know, something like that, mm-hmm. is transformative in the our ability to deliver to sponsors. And when sponsors come to us, they come to the poker, they come to the poker market in general. So mm-hmm. it's good for everybody.
Amazing. And I do have to say, this is in full admission here, and my wife could confirm this, my favorite drink is Dr. Pepper. So every time I hear you mention Dr. Pepper and I see it on the branding, I'm like, I really need my Dr. Pepper now.
All right. So, Dr.
Pepper. when the merger news came out and I saw the press release and I know how important, and you know, you just went into detail of how important the partnerships are for WPT and the business model, the first partner that sort of came to my mind was Zynga, because to me there's that natural crossover, at least, you know, in principle on paper, of okay, well, you've obviously got the poker elements and you've got the gaming elements there. In what way perhaps would this new merger mean any sort of expanded or enhanced cooperation between Zynga and the WPT?
So I'm going to answer your question first, and then I'm going to, since it's such a good question, I'm going to expand on it in a slightly different way. But the answer, the answer is, as we continue to attract or as we continue to focus on this competitive sporting market. Better, whether that is in poker or all of the esports games. Remember, there are many, many, many esports games. There is a group of people who want the challenge of putting themselves out there. And Zynga, which has been an unbelievable partner from day one with the World Poker Tour, this is the audience that they understand as well. And so they're able, you know, we've talked about combining esports activities and poker activities because they understand the online community. And remember, again, we want to go back to these three pillars. The World Poker Tour produces physical events, and that has a group of people that will go flow through those events throughout the year, let's say 50,000 people. Then it produces content, and that may reach 100 million people worldwide or something, you know, from the television broadcast. Maybe more than that if you look online. And then it has a online component, which is the most scalable in terms of getting interaction and participation, because you can be at 3 a.m. in your bedroom and go on and have some experience. And, you know, as we've learned, you know, Zynga is sending like 50 qualifiers to the 500 series. I mean,
the WPT 500.
You realize when you talk to the players, they wanted to play at a physical event because they were playing a social gaming event.
Right.
And Zynga recognizes this. So now, as we're talking about, it's as if World Poker Tour's database just had a big bang.
Wow.
And partners like Zynga, who understand that online offline convergence, will help us to come up with great creative ideas so that we can make sure that this online offline ecology of being able to play and practice and grow online, but eventually you want to have physical experience, just like in esports, you want to go to the flagship arena. You want to
make it real
as well. Absolutely. Sure. And so we're going to see a lot more with Zynga. They have been incredibly supportive. I mean, you've probably seen they've put us on the NASCAR.
Yes.
And I went out there. I got to go on the pit. It was so cool.
Very cool.
But this relationship is one of those. Sometimes things look good on paper, and then you get into the workings, and you're like, gosh, maybe it didn't work out as well. This is one of those things that, hey, the paper wasn't very complicated because we were like, let's get into this together.
Right.
And every week there's something else where we go, oh my gosh, we could do this together. Wow. Let's do this together. Because the World Poker Tour is about the idea that any person, wherever you are on your journey in poker, is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, because we have the largest, you know, social gaming partner in Zynga, this is just reinforcing that idea of the World Poker Tour and helping it to grow. Where had we done the traditional route, which was primarily real money gaming, you're talking about more serious. You're talking about a more serious group. Well, here, the funnel is very wide.
Yep.
So now those people are being converted. Oh my gosh, they start to play in a WPD event. They like it. Now they start to become part of the physical brick and mortar ecology. Some of them will convert to real money gaming. We don't have real money gaming, but you know, partners do, and we don't care. We're happy that one of our partners, maybe Party Poker, who's, you know, we have a partnership with, and maybe they'll benefit from that. But the social component fits so well for the World Poker Tour's message.
Yep.
Better than anyone could have imagined. And the result of this is a rebirth in how we're able to communicate to those who are on the edge and saying, well, maybe I do want to play in a WPT event, or, you know, it doesn't even have to be a World Series event, whatever it is going to be.
Right.
So, you know, to answer your question, it's going to expand. They see the value in this. We see the value in it. And the part, as I said, that I was going to expand on is this is because they understand the value of online, offline ecology. This will be good for the industry.
Yes.
And this relationship is good. It was good for the World Poker Tour. Look, I'm first to say that, but it is good for the industry because if everyone I talk to, I was talking to Mike Sexton a couple of months back, and we were talking about the final tables. And you know, I'm going to give you a hardball question to put into this.
Okay,
some people have criticized the final tables they like the facility of the esports arena, but the delays related to the final table.
Ah, okay. I wasn't going to ask you that. Okay, so no, go
but,
ahead.
But, yeah, sure. But we should. And Mike had made some comments about that in one of his posts. Saying that, you know, he recognized how beautiful, he's seen it, it looks spectacular, but, you know, he was concerned about, you know, what delays will mean. Well, we've mitigated, first of all, we've mitigated a lot of the issues with delays by making them relatively short. We're not doing, you know, it's not like
it's weeks, not months, right?
And something. Mm-hmm. That being said, it's probably a completely different article that's just about this, but we have to remember that how many professional poker players are watching traditional television? Not as many as they were at the beginning.
Right.
Now the professionals are watching the online. But there is America. There is Middle America. There are tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people worldwide who want to watch poker. And those are the people that we convert. Those are the people that we say, welcome and learn a little bit about poker. And if you like it, go to your local casino and play. Yep. And go and play, maybe play online and try your, you know, go to a social gaming site. And the only way that we're going to be able to do this is being able to afford to produce mass market appeal and high quality content. And if you look what's happened in the industry, group after group has stopped producing multi-million dollar content. And now, if you look at who's left, you got Poker Central and you got us.
Yep.
Now, Poker Central is online primarily, and so that's going to, by nature, have a more serious audience.
Mm-hmm.
But broadcast TV and cable TV still appeals to hundreds of millions of people worldwide. And at times when online sites might not put the same marketing dollars as they do before, that's why I applaud Rob and the group over at Party for, you know, taking great risks and putting out marketing. Because if we don't do this, it's going to catch up to us.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I, you know, as I was telling Mike, in my ideal world, I'd build an esports arena right next door to every casino that we had, and then we'd have the best of both worlds.
But right.
No, that's not feasible from a business point of view. So what we've done is we've created something that if you end up at a final table at Esports Arena, it's going to be like you're a rock star. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. We're going to make make sure that it's as good as we could possibly make it for you. from a 10,000 foot in the air level. Also, we're preserving multi-million dollar content, right. And it's becoming a dinosaur. And I will say this: if multi-million dollar content, whether it is by our team or Mori Eskandani or what, if that goes away, it's going to affect this very important ecology. And so, what that allows us to do is do this. It's like, it not only allows us to be efficient, it allows us to make it better because it looks even better.
Absolutely.
On TV.
Absolutely.
So I guess what I'm asking is that I hope that the community will at least digest the reasonings behind it, as if it wasn't just an exercise in efficiency or an exercise in our, you know, we've decided we just don't want to, that we want to just consolidate things. Mm-hmm. It is, we still send Ian Gia Cruz. We'll still do television shows at different locations. But this allows the preservation of multi-million dollar content. It is one of the greatest conversion tools the industry has for the guy who doesn't know if they want to get into poker or not.
Right. And I have to say also, I mean, you've mentioned the word community a few times and the broadness of the appeal. The fact is that if it's the community that needs to be convinced, as you said, that's the choir that's already being preached to. And you are preaching way, way beyond the community. You want to involve more people into the community and get them there in the first place. And you, at the same time, you could have these superstar, prestigious, you know, 10-star, 11-star events, you know, featuring, you know, the biggest names in the world at the Tournament of Champions. But at the same time, it's not just marketing speak. I'm going to be very direct, you know, what you're saying. I met them. I met the Zynga people in person. I still remember her name, Barbara. I sat with her and I spoke with her. And this that was the exact personification of that middle America who sits there and watches and enjoys. She said she had never bet a dime at poker. She only played social. And it shook me as, you know, a veteran member of someone who was into it. And I was like, wow, there really are these people out there. And it is so critical to get them involved in every way, shape, and form. And I certainly agree with you. And I would also just, again, add, you mentioned the Poker Go, Poker Central, Mori Eskandani. You know, they're relatively new kids on the block, as much experience as they have, but their operation over the last 2 years is relatively new. They know what they're doing. They wouldn't have gone ahead and invested all of these hours and all of those millions if they didn't believe in it also. So, you know, it makes sense. And to me, it seems also it's not someone that you're competing with. You're happy that they exist.
Absolutely.
I think it's good.
We have to remember that the same model does not, you know, I used to work for the futurist Alvin Toffler, and one of the things that he taught me was that models must always be adapted, because by very nature, a model does not, will not suit the current circumstance, because 5 minutes ago, the world was different. So the model is only a guideline to push you into a place. And the change in the model is that when we go back 15 years ago, you could have just said the word poker, and you just need a bucket to collect money, or to, you know, or to just tell, open your door, and people would run in because they're just looking for poker, anything. But now, it's been a long time. It's been like 20 years. And so now we need to go to these communities like the esports community, and we need to say, hey, guys, we have something that you want. Mm-hmm. And we need to go to, as you point out, middle America and say, I know you got a lot of choices of what to do, but try what we have.
Yep.
And you see how appealing it is on TV? That's going to be nothing as compared to the feeling that you're going to get when you're sitting at a final table, or you're sitting, you know, in a poker event, just playing with other people.
Absolutely.
And so it is. And so that's the difference. The difference is we got to work harder. And that's why it's very important that, you know, I want Poker Central to succeed 100%, because the World Poker Tour doesn't, the World Poker Tour doesn't fail when World Series is on.
Right.
It goes the other way. You know, the World Series is not affected because the World Poker Tour's television show is running in 28 countries. On the contrary, I assure you that there is somebody who's watched the World Poker Tour somewhere in Europe, and they ended up playing at a World Series circuit event.
That's right. Guaranteed.
And that's fine. What is not fine is when people stop playing. That would not be good.
Absolutely.
Not
a problem. This is an incredibly enjoyable conversation, but we are approaching the end of the interview here, and I did want to touch upon one topic that's been on my mind for a while. 17, 18 seasons in, you know, you are a veteran, experienced crew, a sleek product, and everyone knows what to expect when they turn on a World Poker Tour broadcast. So I just have two final questions related to that aspect is, you know, what you always see is Texas Hold'em. It is, of course, the most popular poker variant. Everyone knows it. You know, when you think of poker, it's practically synonymous with Texas Hold'em in the mainstream aspects of it. But as you and I know, Pot Limit Omaha, many other games in the mix gaining in popularity. So will we ever see the WPT televise and broadcast a non-Hold'em event?
Yes, we will. We will do it. And I think it is absolutely relevant for the discussion that we're having, because think of the philosophy shift is we have become more mature and we now say, what does it mean for us to be part of an esports company? Mm-hmm. What it really means is we facilitate the opportunity for a human being to present themselves in front of other human beings and try to be their best. And so with that in mind, we can think beyond just Texas Hold'em, right? We can say, look, what is the World Poker Tour really good at? It's the World Poker Tour's core competency is not Texas Hold'em. Its core competency is providing a canvas for an individual who's been practicing and getting ready and thinking about how they want to, you know, achieve and challenge themselves to step up and be themselves.
Right.
And to be the best. And so we are absolutely open to those things. You know, we did a cash game for the first time. You know,
yes, I remember that.
You know,
sure.
We did that. And this is, I think that's probably, you're seeing the cracks of, you know, with that. We did kind of almost a game show style event with some of the club participants.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And so we're absolutely open to that. And we want to continue to find new and great ways to be able to demonstrate it, because that's one of the things that, you know, Steve Lipscomb did so well. You know, Steve Lipscomb did not create, obviously he didn't create Texas Hold'em. He wasn't the first person to put poker on TV.
Mm-hmm.
What he did was facilitate a way that made it enjoyable to sit at home and watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has never left our DNA. Our DNA is still about two things. What makes you as the individual come to our event and feel like you have a platform to be your best?
Mm-hmm.
And two, for those who are not necessarily playing, but who are fans and the watchers, to be able to feel like they're having an engaging experience. I know people have that because I see it. I love, you know, I'm a stalker of people in sports bars when they're watching the World Poker Tour. I watch them yelling at the screen and complaining and telling the person at the the table that they would have done differently or whatever. And it's because they have the information to allow them to do that.
Exactly.
In a crowded, loud sports bar. So we'll continue to do those two things. We're absolutely open to that. I would love it. And, I'm going to, you will definitely see more of that. We'll keep you updated.
That would be really cool. And I guess in closing, it sort of circles right back around to, you know, the merger aspects that we talked about, synergies. We talked about how, both poker can influence esports a little bit and vice versa. Again, people know what to expect, this high quality, supreme, excellent product when they look at the WPT on television. Esports is broadcast also. It has its unique features to the way one views it on Twitch, on televised broadcasts. Is it possible are we going to see perhaps a little bit of what we see in esports brought to the production aspects of poker? I'm not sure if I phrased that properly, but basically, will we see a little bit more of an esports flavor perhaps to the future WPT broadcast? And if so, maybe you can tease a detail or two that we could expect.
Sure. Actually, it's a great question, because one of the things that esports has shown is the way that media is being consumed is more and more in shorter form, and in many different styles. For example, if you were to just take the pure poker model of 2003 and had applied it to esports, you would have had to say, okay, you're going to have a Fortnite competition, and you're going to tape all aspects of that, and then you're going to edit it and go back.
Right, post-production.
And you're going to have to have that audience watch that entire thing. And so in the spring, the Esports Arena did this event with Ninja, where they brought his fans in. And they played against him. And so it wasn't based on the tournament so much. It was based on the entertainment around the tournament. It was based on the fun of, you know, the 12-year-old kid ended up, you know, taking him out at some point and suddenly became a star. And esports is showing us very quickly, because it's online and a lot of its audience is online, how you can have new ways to tell similar stories, because it's still, again, competition, but it's being told in different ways. And so we will do that. We'll have a lot more. I mean, we are going to, you will see some really exciting products from WPT online that will look very different from the traditional tournament format. But I'm going to have to wait till next year to let you see that. But the answer is yes, you're going to see more of that, and the opposite as well. You'll also see, you will see an introduction of esports, I think, into various things that we do, and it's one of those things that there's a mentor and a student. We like to think of poker as the mentor because it's been around so long and it's had the model and everybody. But in a good relationship, I remember I had a wonderful grandfather, and I had this one great memory because he taught me so many things, but he also was always interested in something I could teach him. And so I would learn something at school, or it'd be something on my computer or something that he didn't know about. And he was always learning too from me. And that's the best relationships. And that's what we're going to see with poker and esports. We're going to see poker in a model that has worked and succeeded help esports leapfrog and get and avoid a lot of those pitfalls that we made along the lines. But poker is going to learn a lot from new media and new entertainment by this massive growth that's happening in esports as well.
That's absolutely fantastic. And I have to say, you know, I didn't think originally that the conversation would go on this long, but I feel like I could continue talking to you for hours, Adam. It's really
no joke.
It's just I sort of feel like starry-eyed, a little doe-eyed, and saying, wow, this is a true visionary, someone who, you know, 16, 17 years into his job still is just as excited to go into work every single day, make an amazing poker product, and just tell fantastic stories and here, you know, an infusion of resources to go ahead and keep doing that even bigger and better from now on. So really, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks,
and for
Robbie.
Sitting with me. And I really, really enjoyed this interview. And everyone, thank you very much for listening here on Card Player Lifestyle.
Okay. Thank you.